Welcome to the Red Bearded Predator Podcast, where average folks talk about walleyes, whitetails, Wisconsin outdoors, and beyond.
He looks like a beast. Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's a nice eye.
Yeah. That was a fast one. Holy cow.
All right, welcome to this week's show, everybody. Got four guys on here tonight. Something that we haven't done before. Was able to get the technology figured out and everything, so should be good to go. So, kind of what we got going on tonight is that we're gonna recap Bud's last tournament on the Duck Creek Walleye Series. Then we're gonna be diving more into some whitetails as the summer progresses. We're gonna be talking about how to find bucks in the summer to target and how to relate where you're seeing them back to potential hunting spots or bedding areas. So that's what we're going to be discussing here tonight. So if you guys just want to, you know, list off your name and kind of introduce yourself, that'd be awesome.
What was first?
Rob. You're up.
I'm Rob Looper, and I have no idea about fishing, but I will talk some mad whitetails, man.
All right, right on. Bud?
Yeah, I'm Bud. I've been on here, I think, maybe once before. That's about it. But, yeah, I'm the walleye guy. I know a little bit about whitetails. I get lucky. But, yeah, I always like good conversation and cold beer.
All right, Thompson.
I'm Thompson Sportsman. I'm just happy to be here, I guess. Thanks for inviting me on again.
Yeah, happy to BS with a bunch of dudes, eh? And he has one of the greatest names of all time in outdoors or anything. Such a sweet name. But anyway, everybody got a cold drink in their hand, of course. I got ice water because I am on call this evening. What do you got, Rob?
I am fat. If you watch my videos, I'm trying to lose it.
Yep. Then Bud's got the silver bullet. What you got, Thompson? I know you're always drinking something good.
There you go.
Nice. What you got, Thompson?
I got Coors Light tonight.
Nice. Right on. All right. Well, we might as well get Bud, the elephant out of the room, out of the way. How'd the last tournament go?
The tournament was top-notch. I love the tournament. As far as my performance, that was about the biggest fucking nad kicking I could ever get in my life.
How many fish you put in the boat?
Zero fish. First time ever we took a zero in a tournament.
Dang.
And that was that's about the shittiest feeling I've ever had in my life. It really sucked. But I mean, it was a tough bite. I mean, it's to put in perspective was for this tournament series, so we had three tournaments. And even though I zeroed, it was my best finish of the year.
Seriously?
Yeah, I finished 21st with a zero. And that was actually my best finish of the year.
Are they tough fish to catch? I mean, how do you catch them? What do you use?
We're trolling crate. Well, for that tournament,
I'm not a fisherman. Take that in consideration.
We do a lot of trolling.
Yeah.
So we were trolling crankbaits, and we were finding pods of fish, so we tried to slow down and jig them. That didn't put them in the boat. Then we slowed down even more, went back to trolling, and we were trolling what we call as crawler harnesses, and I absolutely freaking hate it. You pretty much just drag a earthworm on a hook, and that still didn't catch them, and we got delayed an hour off the start of the day because we had a thunderstorm. So we had post frontal conditions. And
is that good or bad?
That's absolutely fucking horrible.
Okay.
It shuts them down.
Gotcha.
And so the spot we wanted to fish, there was probably a good third of the field at that ramp. And we all got, you know, everybody gets postponed, but we all launched from there. We started fishing, and in a matter of an hour and a half, we went from 1 foot waves to we were fishing in 4 to 5 foot waves. So we had zero boat control, and if you're not familiar with control, and we have boards off to the side of the boats, we have three lines, and you could watch our board go up the wave and go back down, and then you'd look out the back of the wave, and you'd see our fishing line going out the back of the wave into the next wave, and
oh Lord, yeah.
It was just not, we were not being effective, so we ended up having to motor back to the ramp, load the boat. This is the nice part about this tournament series is we're allowed a trailer. We can trip our boat anywhere we want as long as we stay inside the boundaries. So we had to take that time, load the boat, then we had to drive to a different ramp to try to find calmer water.
Same lake, right?
What?
Same lake?
Yeah, well, it's Lake Michigan,
okay.
But it's Green Bay, but, you know, I mean, Green Bay is huge in itself.
Gotcha.
And we were fishing, like, the northeast corner of our boundary. We ended up going way south, just trying to find something where we could actually control the boat and fish, and we ended up spending the second half of the day down there. And pretty much, we had a shortened day to start with. Then we pissed away the first couple hours fishing and not being effective. And
can I ask you a question? Being from the East Coast, I battle tides and everything like that. This might be a dumb question. Do them lakes have tides? I don't know if they do or not.
We really don't get tides. What affects us is wind.
Okay.
Like if we get a strong northeast wind, it backs the current all the way up.
Gotcha.
So that's what will raise our water. But we don't have like daily tides or anything like that.
Yeah, I got you. That's true. Ours is hunting in the marsh a lot, man. These guys talk real good game on the marsh, but man, you can't do that here because you'll be stuck out there for 2 days getting stuck in the marsh. You can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I gotta go, but keep the podcast going. I'm on call, so I'll be right back.
All right, man.
Like, you gotta leave or you just got a phone call?
I got a phone call to respond to.
All right.
So, Bud, just take her over.
I'm the host. All right, great. I mean, as far as the tournament, I mean, it was a good time. I mean, it was tough fishing.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much, we had 35 guys in it. Only 20 teams 1,000 points going into the last tournament.
Yeah.
They actually ended up losing Angler of the Year in the last tournament.
Wow.
And they started, they finished 14th, and they still ended up losing Angler of the Year. So the way they do the points, I mean, it keeps you in the hunt all year long. So that's what I kind of liked about it. But good group of guys. I mean, I highly recommend anybody in this area that wants to get into a tournament. It's cheap, you know, as far as a lot of the series and tournaments around, you know, the Northeast Wisconsin area. It's affordable. I mean, I totally recommend anybody that wants to get into it to do it. And next year they're actually going to move all the tournaments up 1 month. So we're actually going to be fishing more pre-spawn and spawn walleyes versus the summer pattern.
Gotcha.
So yeah, Eric, you're back.
I am back. Well, I'm assuming it was an officer, but they didn't leave me a voicemail yet, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. But you got any questions, Thompson, at all?
So since it was a series, was there like cumulative points that added up?
Yeah, we got pretty much based off how you finished. First place of the tournament got 500 points towards Angler of the Year. And then as you went down, it dropped 2 points per position.
Got it.
So, like, and then if that's all it was, as long as you weighed a fish, if you ended up taking a zero, then you only got 100. And that was a big part that hurt me for my Angler of the Year is this last tournament. If I would have just weighed one fish, I would end up getting 400 points. But seeing I took a zero, I only got 100. So that was the big kicker for me, because I was at least consistent in the first two, to where like I was racking up 400 and some points a tournament, where the last one I ended up only getting 100. I mean, if I would have at least weighed one fish, I would have probably been up as far as, you know, 15th or so for Angler of the Year. You know, still not in the money, but a little bit more respectable finish. Yeah, Thompson, he is seeing less. What you're seeing less spawns this year, Thompson? Is that what you're saying, or you're seeing more?
It's not less does. It's just none of them are taking. None of them have fawns with them this year.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
it's an easier winter than last year.
What's that?
And it's an easier winter this year than it was last year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everything. All the snow was out by I think the end of March this year, and usually I'm still walking up to my hip in April, so.
Yeah, we never get snow here. Very, very rarely. I was telling Eric the other day, if we hit 20, 19, 18, it's rare, man. Yeah, I mean, it's very rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up here, it's always hit or miss. We'll have 1 year where it's, you know, we'll have snow from October all the way through May, and just runoff. And I mean, we're trying to find places to put snow. And then I mean, then you have years like this year where, I mean, I think I busted my snowblower out 3 times, and each time was for like 2 inches of snow, and it was more or less I just didn't feel like shoveling.
These people here, man, we get like 4 or 5 inches of snow. They're like, oh my God, you know, the supermarkets are raided or something like that. Oh, it's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think, Bud, you're talking about up there, it seems like, Christ, we can freaking scout halfway into summer up in the Northwoods up there.
As far, yeah, I mean, with the snow and stuff, or what?
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, what, last year we were up there in Maine, there was still, like, a foot of snow on the ground.
And we were,
oh, shit.
Well, I mean, I can't remember when, I'm trying to remember, yeah. Well, I know you and me, we went up to the Northwoods last year. Yeah, like, down in Green Bay, I'm like, dude, okay, there's, like, we have a couple inches of snow on the ground. I'm like, yeah, let's go up north, let's hit it before it really gets wet.
Yep.
So we go up there. Well, half the places we went and checked, I mean, it was waist deep of snow yet.
Yeah.
And it was just insane. And we were only, I mean, how far? Well, I mean, Thompson, you're a little familiar with the area.
Yeah.
But like, Green Bay to Crivitz, it's literally 40 miles. You know, if that, and it was that much of a freaking difference, yeah. Just with some sort of snow belt or something like that. It's just crazy.
That's how it is here, different. Man. There's a line here, like Dover Air Force Base, we'll get a foot of snow, and I'm a half hour south of that, and we'll get nothing, dude. Nothing. It's so weird, man. So yeah. Weird. Like, I'm like right at the mouth of the bay. If you look at the map, like, you'll see Lewis, and it's Cape Henlopen, and it's right at the mouth of the whole entire Delaware Bay. So, I don't know if it's the salt water. I think it has something to do with it, or whatever it is, the tides, the warms water, because the water's warm because the Gulf is right off the coast. I don't know. But it's
probably no different than like it is around here. We get like lake effect and stuff like that, where a storm comes in, it builds up moisture, and then it swings back and hits you again. And
but we get mostly rain because we don't get the temperatures, you know?
Yeah.
They call them Northeasters. That's what you're exactly describing. They call Northeasters here. We get a big Northeasters coming, and everybody panics.
Yeah. Well, the thing with that, they never know how long it's going to actually keep coming back at you.
Exactly. I hear Dakota's running around. I don't know what the hell she's chasing something. So. All
right. Dakota, come here. What are you doing? Yeah, but
I know. Help you guys. I'm trying to
keep her on. Yeah, go chase her down. See, I told you we'd spice it up. We got freaking getting called by the cops. Freaking, we got dogs being chased. This is great. This is great. But I guess
this is what happens, Eric, when you switch over to the unfiltered.
Yeah, I know. No shit. This
togetherness.
Yeah, this freaking RBP after dark's getting wild here. But no, I know we're gonna talk about a little bit more summer scouting. Did you guys? Well, I'm not sure how much.
I'm just gonna jump into that.
Okay.
Like, what's everybody's like go-to tactics? Like, what's your number one tactic as far as when you think of summer scouting? What are you doing as far as summer scouting?
I'm glassing fields. We're trying to get on a big one. Trying to see where the big ones are, where they're hanging, why, and I'm correlating winds when they're out in them fields, where he's coming out in the field, and you know, I'm just taking a lot of inventory and information, you know.
Yeah, for me, besides glassing, it's driving.
Yeah.
And now that's it. Put miles on the vehicle, burning gas.
Very expensive right now. Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's why. I guess that's my secret weapon when it comes to summer scouting. Really, for I guess it's not so much just the driving. I guess it's the vehicle I use.
The Fiesta party.
Yeah, I use a little Ford Fiesta. Gets like 40 miles to the gallon, and it allows me to.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it allows me to cover a lot of freaking ground and. Pretty efficient. So I guess my number one tactic is a little bit different than just driving around. It's having a vehicle that's fuel efficient.
Yeah. I know my got a 6-cylinder 4Runner. I love it, but you know what? It burns gas. It does burn gas.
Yeah. And plus my vehicle kind of flies underneath the radar.
do you DoorDash with that too or what?
Oh yeah, that's my DoorDashing vehicle.
Yeah.
Little manual 5-speed.
Yeah.
Good vehicle. All right. But I guess you're the next one up.
Well, as far as if I actually summer scouted, what I would do?
Yeah.
I guess more, I mean, it's the same concept. I mean, I wouldn't say a lot of public around here.
Yeah.
It's decent. And I run around. As far as my summer scouting is once you get to this time of the year, you can actually see what crops are in each field.
So I'm
running around to all the different public pieces, and I'm seeing what kind of crops are adjacent to it, and I'm taking note of that. And then if able to, like if there's soybeans or something like that in that field, then I'm going back and just concentrating on those fields, and I'm glassing them fields at dusk.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much how I extend my summer scouting.
And correct me if I'm wrong, bud, but in like the big north woods, you'd probably be doing just the same thing in those clear cuts then, eh?
I mean, yeah, I've never done it.
Yeah.
Honestly, what I would probably do, if I wanted to really concentrate north woods, what I would do is I would wait till after dark, and all them logging roads, or I mean, not even the logging roads, but like the main gravel roads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just set nights apart, and I would just drive those roads at night.
Yeah.
You know? Drive those roads at night with the high beams on, and just see what you're catching crossing the roads and stuff like that. That's what I would do in the Northwoods.
Yeah.
Like track and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't hunt Northwoods, but I have some bigger chunks of unbroken timber down here. Another tactic that I use, so since we can shine in Wisconsin, is actually finding the most open timber, because I feel safe at night open timber. Is that I actually shine where you can see quite a ways, and that open timber seems to work.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's something else that would work. How about you?
I was telling them guys, Eric, we're not allowed to shine here
at all. Oh, okay. Yeah, I
wish. Good.
Yeah, shining's a big deal. I guess that's another. Man, I got a lot of good tactics. Shining's huge for me. Bud knows it. I almost killed a buck. It was in summer, but a couple years ago, almost killed a buck because of shining. So, yeah. Taunton, you got anything?
New Jersey, you can.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, Taunton.
So this is only really my third full season.
Okay.
So my third summer scouting, and I mean, this year I've really been like focusing on kind of getting boots on the ground to try to find areas that look promising, and then I'll throw up a trail camera and just, I mean, I think I have, this kind of includes spring too. I mean, I just threw up some trail cameras in the spring, and I haven't touched them yet. And,
That's good.
So I know you really can't get much off of it, but I found a couple of spots that I think look kind of promising. I'm looking forward to getting some boots on the ground and walking. Just because, I mean, I guess since I've started hunting, deer at least, I've really been focused on the area around where kind of, you know, the home base is up in the Northwoods. And just the fact that, like around me where I get to hunt, it's these programs. So, I mean, I don't find out where I'm hunting until like now, and then I think the next program I won't find out until August, and then I can't even start looking at them until early September. So, I mean,
explain that program?
Well,
so they're just like in Illinois, we don't really have a ton of public land.
Okay.
And what they had been doing previously was the DNR was setting up bait stations and just like calling deer basically because of CWD. And so a few of the counties in our area started these deer programs where instead of the DNR coming in with rifles, they charge hunters to like basically buy into these county programs, and then they give you a zone and you get to go hunt that zone.
I got you. Okay.
But just because of like you're in a forest preserve where they got hiking trails and stuff, they don't let you go in until closer into the season to kind of explore like your zone so much.
That's like our federal land here. You're not out of scout at all. For no trail cameras, no scouting. If you're going to hunt federal ground, you got your stand on your back and your bow in your hand here, man.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's, some states have crazy laws. I guess because CWD, they have that implemented, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I went from having, like, first year, one small, like, 2-acre place to hunt. And now, the past couple of years, we've drawn into county programs where it's basically like having your own little private piece of ground.
Okay.
Just because you get a zone to yourself.
What's the deer density up there? You got, I mean, Illinois is known for big deer. I mean, but what's the, is it good or?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good around where I live, and that it's the two, like the county that I live in and then the one next door. And I mean, I think I hunted 3 times last year and killed 3 deer.
Oh, that's so great, man. Great.
Yeah.
Is that country flat or?
I killed, opening day, I went out and killed a yearling just because it was the first time I'd seen a deer with a cow pop-up. And then 2 days later, I killed my first buck. And then 12 days after that, I killed another buck, and that was the end of my season.
That's awesome, man. Great. Hey, you did more than I did, man, brother. What are you hunting? Is it hill country? Is it flat? Is it ag? Or?
It's mostly flat. We have the places that I drew into last year had a little bit of mixed ag in.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not really it's mostly flat land just with some ag, and then there's like there's patches of woods that, you know, the deer really like it's on. So. But I got shut out in the Northwoods, and that's kind of the spot that I really want to go up and try to get one this year.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I suppose if I were in your situation, Thompson, like summer scouting, it makes sense why, you know, since you're so limited with what you can hunt, I'd probably use trail cameras, because it's not like you can cover a ton of ground like what we're talking about. That's kind of your best options, trail cameras. So
I agree. Right. I mean, like around where I live, I don't really get to go scout. I mean, I can drive around where like the places I hope I draw in, but I mean, I really don't find out until later. But up in the Northwoods, I mean, I probably run 5 or 6 trail cameras up there, and I got one cell camera, but that's just on our property, so I can keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
So, very cool. I think it's kind of cool to see all the differing type of tactics based on the laws and the land that's in each one of our states. It's different. So.
It is, Eric, and you know what? It's very interesting how the laws change your tactics, man. You have to, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah, because it's just like full bore in Wisconsin. We got all this public land, and me and Bud are lucky, so we just kind of cruise everywhere. I mean, the disappointing about Wisconsin is how a lot of guys complain about it, and. You look at your two examples, it's like, well, what is there to be complaining about?
I don't listen to them guys because, you know what, I just think, you know, even New Jersey, where I was born and raised and deer hunted for almost 20-some years, is ranked the 49th state of registered Pope and Youngs. So... I'm going to tell you right now, if you're killing a 3-year-old in New Jersey, you are doing something. And all I did was hear bitch, and all guys bitch. Listen, man, it's deer hunting. You know, you're not living off this fucking meat. You're not, you know, raising, you know, these guys online. Yeah, I live off. Get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
I mean, you might choose to live off deer meat, but it doesn't mean that you're going to go out to, you know, you're gonna fucking die because you don't have any deer because they lowered the bag limit or something like that. It's like it's it's for recreation.
Yep.
Honestly, you know, maybe out in a reservation or something out way out west or something like that. Them guys can live on it, but like us four sitting here, I'm watching fucking Star Wars on Netflix.
Oh, that's great. made my night.
I can't stand when they bitch and moan about shit like that, you know?
Yeah, because we've just... How many guys do we hear I mean, Thompson knows this. Like, all the guys are complaining of wolves and all this shit. It's like...
Mother Nature's going to...
Yeah, Mother Nature rules all. Like, you can make all the laws, you can make all... I mean, just deal with it. That's my thought. Exactly. Use...
Hey, you know what? Hold that thought, man. You want to talk about a bad motherfucker that just attacks me and kills fucking monsters every year? Fucking Jason Campbell, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You ever hear him? Yeah, Eric?
No, I'm not familiar.
He started Lone Wolf Custom Gear, pretty much.
Okay.
He started everything with them and helped the Equistos restart all their business.
Okay.
That dude's such a great guy, man. And, you know, it's a guy, he lives in, I think, Missouri or Michigan. The guy kills fucking monsters every year, man. It's crazy. But,
wow, that's crazy.
Real good dude, man. Real good dude. But he just texted me. I thought you would know him. But
no, honestly, you know, we've had conversations about forums and stuff like that. Just over the past couple years, I've been kind of just doing my own thing, and like, part of the reason I started YouTube was to, you know, get some connections with some good dudes, and, like, you know, through forums and YouTube and some other ways, I kind of found a good group of guys, for example, tonight, to talk deer hunt with. And once I found a crew of guys to talk with, I really relate with, is that I don't need much more than that. So
exactly, and that's where I'm getting. I told you that before. I'm getting the same way, man.
All
forums, I stay away from them now, man.
Because prior to YouTube, the only person I really talked to was Bud, and it's just nice to bounce other ideas with other people. So
I talk to Andre sometimes. He's a nice guy, man. He's a real nice guy.
Yeah. But Thompson must be taking a dump.
Maybe. I see him coming. I see him in the mirror there on the bottom. See, there he is. I seen him coming.
Are you dropping a deuce, Thompson? You taking a dump?
What's that?
Were you taking a dump?
Oh, I had to piss real quick.
I love the fucking beer meister in the back. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah, so
I'd be fucking on the steps in there.
What's that?
Are you guys still not on the stone steps?
No, we're not. Nope, we are not. He must not have changed.
I am. Oh.
Oh man.
You like those steps?
It looks like the Jedi meeting place.
So
it reminded me like of a Jedi meeting place or something.
I think next time we'd I think next time we do this, I think we roll with that Jedi type deal.
Yeah, man. I'll dress up if you want. Comic-Con, baby.
Dude, Comic-Con. That would be freaking awesome. Yeah, man, we can each bring a lifesaver or something like that.
Yeah.
Each one, that would be fun to do with the kids. Like, freaking throw the kids out here. But anyway,
I had my little nephew here all day with me. He stayed with me while my wife was here, and she had to clean. And my wife has a cleaning business, so he hung out with me. He would love it. He loves that kind of shit, man.
Yeah, Star Wars pretty awesome. But I guess anything else when it comes to summer scouting? I guess the main points to take away from it is drive, glass, shine, use trail cameras.
I
pretty simple.
Dipstick and scouting.
Yeah, and stay
that's
out
the main
of the woods.
Dipstick viewing.
Stay out of the woods. Stay out of the woods.
Yeah. Everything's long range.
Yeah, because guys, I see guys, they'll spot a big one and they'll go boom right in the woods and start scouting and scouting for spots and trees to get in, and by the time they know it, that deer is gone because he smells you. He is gone.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Bud, you were saying something?
I'm sorry, bud. Let me cut you off.
Well, I was just saying, like, the main thing with when it comes to summer scouting is just that long distance scouting.
Yeah.
You know, it's all, you're watching them and they can't see you. That's the main thing.
Yeah. And I just want to go back to it's kind of the theme from last week's episode, too. Guys complicate the shit out of this stuff. It's not that complicated.
It's not fucking rocket science.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, just use those tactics of the four ones I just listed. Don't go in the woods and put your time in. It comes down to effort and time. So
and we talked about last week too that you know, these guys are taking, like I was saying earlier, when you were getting yelled at from your work, I think. about buck beds, these guys are watching these YouTube videos and you know, certain forums and certain stuff is saying buck beds, buck beds, buck beds, and these guys are going out and finding buck beds and think it's an automatic thing. That is not the deal, man. That is not the real world thing, man. It's just not.
Yeah, it's
so much more into it.
There's like 20 different ways to skin the cat with whitetail hunting.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But I guess that's a good wrap up for the summer scouting portion of the podcast. Bud, you got the would you rather. Why you do that, I'm going to turn on a light so people can see me.
Wow, you're really going after dark.
Yeah.
I got a would you rather, and it fits in to the summer scouting. So my would you rather shoot a 120-inch buck that you watched all summer? You had a couple hunts during the fall to narrow in on him, and you finally connected and you got him. Or would you rather shoot a 150 by surprise during the rut?
120, definitely 120. I like the puzzle, man. I love the puzzle. That's why I don't kill many bucks. I can't get close enough. I love that.
Well, you get. I guess the puzzle gets too complicated for you.
Something.
No, I'm just giving you shit. So, 150 during the rut, 120 that you're watching the entire summer.
And you hunt it down. You play the chess game with the 120.
I do have a question. So, is this in-state or out-of-state? Like,
it's in your home state.
Okay.
I was gonna say that changed the whole fucking deal there.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Well, I'm just
points to your. But that's what I'm saying. Would you rather shoot a smaller buck that you watched all summer?
Yeah.
And you hunt it down versus you just hunted a pinch point during the rut and you shot a bigger buck, but you never saw him. It was just total luck of the draw, and he came through while you were sitting in a pinch point.
Yeah, because I was just looking at it from this year's perspective. Like, this year's perspective, I would shoot the big fucker. But if I'm in my home state, not Iowa, I'd gladly shoot that 120 buck over 150 inch buck just based off the story, the experience, building that relationship with that deer. Yeah, that's what, I agree with that. Yeah. Thompson?
I think I would probably have to say the 120. I mean,
I like this
kid,
man.
This is all to me. I've walked into every single deer that I shot before, so bucking into any more deer, that really doesn't draw for me. If I was able to, like, get a buck on trail camera and like see him a couple times and kind of work my way into him, I feel like I was learning a little bit more than just having a buck show up. So
you see, I like that because it's work. There's work involved, and he likes the work to do it. That's what I like about it. A lot of these kids, and I'm not saying that you're a kid, a lot of these young guys, they just want to shine. You know, look at what I got, and not work for nothing. And just, I don't get it, man. You know, I like to work for my shit, man. I know that.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, it took me how many years to get on a mature buck? I mean, and I slowly built my way up through the years. I shot 100, 105, 110, and just shot the biggest one after that. But it was a progression to get there. So,
oh, yeah.
I guess, Bud, you get to answer your own question now.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I would take the 120. I would feel it a lot more of an accomplishment playing a chess game with a deer and going in versus just you know, drawing the right cards and getting lucky. I mean, you know, a lot of my hunts, I mean, I don't nearly put as much effort in that you guys three do. And a lot of my hunts, they're going to be luck. But if I put the effort in and, like, I mean, I run trail cameras. I've glassed. I've seen deer, done this, but I've never connected. But, yeah, hands down, I would feel a lot more accomplishment hunting down a specific deer than just the luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I
think guys would.
Yeah.
Those guys would like that.
And that's what I think. I mean, we aren't all big buck killers here. I mean, that's the cool thing about this podcast. I mean, Thompson's kind of beginning at this. Bud's kind of out there kind of to enjoy life and enjoy being out in the outdoors, but he still has a goal to...
Yeah. I love just going out and sitting in the tree. I don't get fucking you.
Yeah.
Christ, I mean, I get tickled pink because a fucking chickadee will come and sit on my bow or something, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I just hang out with birds. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And you still have a goal of shooting a nice 8-point buck on public, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, but I got lots of goals. The point of a goal is to never meet it.
Oh, yeah, but
I gotta get Sam something this year. That's my goal.
Yeah,
Sam got to stick one this year. That's my daughter, guys. She should be home soon.
Yeah, and I'm a nut, and I do insane shit for deer. Bud's experienced that firsthand.
Yeah. I bitch hands up and down every time I come down by you, but I still do it. It's still fun.
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, I'm all making memories, man. That stuff you ain't gonna forget.
Yep. Yep. I love dragging your ass up 400, 500 foot bluffs. It's fun. So at least some.
Our best memory is like we're driving home from somewhere and your headlight goes out. He's like, I'm gonna get pulled over.
And you get pulled
He's
over.
He's like, I better stop at Walmart. I'm going to stop at Walmart and buy this headlight quick. And yeah, lo and behold, Eric gets pulled over. There's like three cops in three counties, and he gets pulled over by the cop he doesn't know.
That's my luck, dude. That's my luck.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So, yeah, cool. I guess, Bud, you're kind of the host of this podcast tonight. What direction are we going to take it next? Are we going to shut it down? Where are we going?
Well, I don't know what, I mean, we're in the middle of summer. I know what I'm doing, but I'm a fisherman, so I got plans this weekend, but what are your guys' plan for this weekend coming up? I mean, what are you guys doing in the outdoors to keep yourself in the outdoors?
Let me go first.
Yeah, Rob, go first.
Right now, like I said earlier, we have a cleaning business, so we're busting ass, man. It's money time on the coast, you know, and we do a lot of turnovers on the weekends for, you know, rentals and all that, and July 4th weekend is the biggest weekend of the summer, and I also stock shelves at a grocery store from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. And then I work at a golf course a couple days a week too, running a cart barn. So other than that, it's summertime. It's money time, man. If I get a night, like tomorrow night, I'm going to take a ride because we got a huge cold front coming. I'm going to go look at fields. And then all weekend, I'll be working. So work, work, work.
Okay.
Well, for me, unfortunately, I'm on call Friday and Saturday night, so I won't be doing too much, which is a good thing for me because it doesn't allow me to get in my kayak and flip it. I haven't told you. I haven't brought up that story yet.
No, because you're too busy with your little work conversations. You missed half of it.
Yeah. Noah, kind of tell the folks at home what happened is me and my dad went smallmouth bass fishing on the Menominee River, and, you know, I thought it'd be a nice...
BP almost got shut down.
Yeah, our BP almost got shut down. We were having a nice float. My dad hooked into monster sturgeon, so that was pretty cool. Came out of the water twice. I was a dumbass and deleted that footage accidentally. And just not a good trip. But anyway, I put my anchor down in some current, and I thought I'd be fine to pull it back up. Well, I learned my lesson not to put my anchor in that heavy of a current because my kayak ended up getting a shit ton of water on top of it, and it just got really unstable, and I ended up flipping in some pretty gnarly current. So I freaking swam to shore. Good thing I wasn't too far away from shore. And my kayak went down the freaking river, flipped over. So all my baits, all my rods, everything's just face down in the water. Camera gear, all of our camera gear. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck is going on? And my dad was with me, so he hurried up and tried to catch up to the stuff, but he couldn't pull it upstream. Like, just 60-year-old guy pull my kayak up a fast-moving river. It's pretty rough. So I was happy that there was three guys behind us that helped us out. They were able to flip over my kayak, and they were able to actually pull it back to me. Really lucky. The only thing I lost was like $100 St. Croix rod and like a $30 or $40 rod in a stadium seat. But all my baits were still in there. Our lunch was still in there. My paddle...
Right back.
Go ahead. My paddle floated, so I was able to get my paddle back. What else? And, I put my camera gear in a Quick Trip bag, and that Quick Trip bag saved my ass. Everything was good to go. Like,
yeah, how does a little hand tie grocery bag somehow become waterproof? I don't get it, but
that's,
you should buy a lottery ticket, man.
That's why I freaking bought the Quick Trip bag, because those bags are really durable. So, yeah.
But still, it's not like it's a Ziploc or anything. I mean,
Hey, and my phone still works after swimming with it on me. So, hey, everything is good. I just get to buy some new fishing gear, so it's Christmas for me all over again. So, yep.
Are you getting out this weekend in the outdoors?
Oh, I'd never even answer the question.
I get you. Call, but you just have to stay within like 30 miles of your house.
So Saturday and Sunday, Sunday and Monday, I actually have off. I'm probably gonna go golfing.
What do you do, Eric? What do you do? I don't think you've ever told me what you did.
So I work in child protection services and youth justice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I mean when I'm on call. Like I get called, it's like either a kid's getting abused or Some kid's getting in some sort of shit that he shouldn't be getting into.
Okay. Okay.
So, gotcha. Yeah. So that's actually what I do. But besides that, my primary job is to work with at-risk kids, like that are in the youth. Yeah, that are in the youth justice system, and I don't know, work with them on trying to be productive members of society is the biggest thing, so they don't end up in correctional facilities. So,
that's right, yes.
Yeah, so I actually run a group full of a bunch of at-risk kids, and we just work on budgeting, and we work on
life skills,
decision making, how to figure out how to go to rent a property, how to afford car payments, that basically that's what I do. So yeah, my biggest goal in life besides killing bucks is to, since I don't have kids, and that's part of the reason I don't have kids is because I treat those kids like my kids. Like every single one of them is like,
that's awesome, man.
So that's what I do.
Your service.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. So
yeah.
Yep. I love those kids, so I'll leave it at that. But
man.
Yeah. Not a lot of people do, but my biggest job is not to give up on them. So
yeah, that's what most of them kind of kids that people have given up on them, and that's what they're used to.
Yep. So no matter what they do, I always try and be there for them. So that's kind of my deal. All right, we can get out of my little world here. Oh no.
All right, Todson, what are you doing? Are you doing, you got an extended weekend this week, and you doing something in the outdoors?
We're going up to up north, northern Wisconsin. So I'm going to be checking trail cameras and taking my dog out, just letting him kind of wander around. I mean, that's all part of his, like, I guess, like, training or whatever. It's just kind of letting him get on stuff out there. So, I think I have, like, 5 trail cameras I need to go check out on public land. And two of them are right off of this big clear cut. I tried to set them up, you know, a little bit off of the clear cut, not so much in it, so not
an invasive approach.
What's that?
A non-invasive approach?
I'm walking like logging roads right through the middle of the clear cut, because that's the easiest access for it for me, so I think I might be able to get my four-wheeler in there, so that might be an option too, but then, I usually try to get up early and go do that so I can get back and fish a little bit. And then 4th of July is a big family weekend for us, so.
Yeah,
I try to get up and do my outdoor stuff before everyone else is awake.
Yeah.
You putting your cameras high, Thompson, or waist level, or how do you place them?
I usually place them about head height. Usually on public land, I like to take a couple sticks and get them up a little bit higher, but all the ones that I have set right now, I'm pretty confident that they're pretty low traffic areas. Just it seems like the areas that I hunt up in the Northwoods, not a lot of people are really getting to. So, I've definitely scouted the people as much as I scout like the areas that like I notice during the hunting season where people are parking, and then I try to different spots.
That's awesome. Gotta hunt the hunters too, man.
Yeah.
All right, bud. What you doing this weekend?
Well, I'm gonna. Being the fisherman, this weekend is going to be a fishing for me. But I am taking a play out of your guys' the big whitetail hunters. Is my tournament season just ended, but now next season, it just started for me. So I'm taking this weekend, and I am going out on the river and pretty much going to drive my boat for the next 3 days. And I'm going to do nothing but make a contour map and side scan the entire Fox River. And that is all in prep for tournaments next spring. So pretty much my season ended, but next season began.
Yeah, so this is basically just postseason scouting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes complete sense. I mean, it just shows, like, whether it's hunting or fishing, I mean, they all correlate. So,
yeah, I mean, Monday I might get out on the bay to fish, but I'm thinking Saturday I have Dale, and we're going to go for a boat ride, but I'm going to end up doing my scouting.
Nice.
I'll just have him drive the boat around and make a contour map. I don't care where he goes.
That's going to be helpful. So, cool.
You know, we'll go out in the flats and he can just contour map that for me. I mean, we'll side scan, try to find little rock piles or something like that. That's my plan for the weekend.
Cool. It sounds fun. So, all right, bud. You want to take us out of here?
Well, I don't know. Is that it? Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Things to do for turn in, so appreciate you having me again.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming on, Rob.
Anytime. You
go check out the Buck Psych. He's on YouTube, Facebook. You on Instagram too or something?
I am. I really, really focus on Instagram anymore. And YouTube, yeah.
And then we got Todd Thompson. What are you on? You got YouTube, you got Facebook, what do you got?
I got Facebook. I do some Instagram, both. I mean, just my name.
Yeah. Thompson Sportsman.
If you need it off, then no one else is going to have it, so.
All right. And then you can check out me and Eric, Red Bearded Predators, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, subscribe, get on all of us. You know, we'll teach you something, or you might teach you something that nobody wants to know. I don't know. But hey.
Yeah.
It's still fun to just watch us do randomly nothing.
Oh, yeah. Regular guys. Culture,
folks. It's the blue collared group.
That's it, brother. That's it.
Bye.
Later, people.
All right, guys. Thank you.